Speaking with Chris Hansen, who you probably know as the To Catch a Predator host from back in the day. That show is gone, but Chris has a new one, and it is very similar to that one. Chris, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Were you surprised that in a place like this you had that many guys? I mean, you guys, Sault Ste. Marie is 150 miles from here.
Right.
To go that far to have sex with a 15-year-old kid?
It's shocking, but I wish I could tell you I was surprised. But we could do this sting virtually anywhere around the world and have the same results. And what it shows is the ubiquitous nature of the internet and the explosion in the number of these social media platforms allows and creates the opportunity for adults to approach kids online for sex. And it's gotten to the point, you know, we've been doing these things for nearly 20 years now. 20 years, imagine that. When we started, we merely had decoys in chat rooms on AOL and Yahoo. Now there are countless platforms where this communication can take place. And so there's more opportunity, more activity than ever before, and it doesn't matter where you live. And what this shows is, you know, Marquette is not immune, like anywhere else in the country.
So how did you set this one up? How did this get set up? We have had four of the seven men arraigned. There's three that have not been at this point, as you and I are speaking. But how did you set this one up? How does a sting like this get set up?
We found a house, and we work with law enforcement, so we collaborate. The decoys who actually go online and do the chats are members of law enforcement, the sheriff's department, or other law enforcement agencies. In the beginning, we had decoys from Perverted Justice, an online watchdog group, but we found over the years as we've developed these investigations that it makes for a much sounder prosecution to have the decoys actually part of law enforcement. So that's what we do. These decoys go in chat rooms, merely exist, and if they get approached, if the potential predator makes the first approach and they raise the subject of sex, the conversation continues, and that's basically where the crime takes place online. The date is made, the meeting is set, and typically the potential predator will drive sometimes up to 4 hours, sometimes just a few minutes away, to come meet the child. He comes in the door. We have a member of law enforcement, a deputy or somebody who's involved with the sheriff's department who looks younger than they are, greet at the door, invite them in, they sit down, and when the time comes and it's appropriate, I walk out to confront them. We have our conversation. It's all recorded on hidden camera, and at some point, sorry about the sirens, it's New York City. At some point, you know, I'll explain who I am, and the cameras you can see come out. We finish the conversation, and then law enforcement makes the arrest. It depends. If the guy gets violent or tries to leave, then law enforcement will take control of the situation, and I'll try to do the interview afterwards. So, you know, usually they sit down, and it's amazing to me all these years later, number one, that, you know, guys still show up, but two, they know in some cases who I am, and they sit for the interview because they've seen the show, and they know that this is the part of the show where they're supposed to talk to me, which is a bit astounding, but it happens over and over and over again.
Well, my favorite one was when the guy got on the floor and started begging at your feet, and you looked down at him and said, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, I know, and you know, these guys are all sorry, and look, there is a feeling of sympathy or empathy sometimes with some of these guys, and you know, they apologize, and they see that they've been caught, and they see that, you know, this is going to impact their lives in a terrible, negative way. But I always go back to my central thought on this, which is, okay, maybe you're sorry now, but if I wasn't here, the law enforcement people weren't here, and it was just you and a teenage girl or boy, you would have committed a sexual assault that could have impacted that child forever. And I find it very hard to believe, in spite of what these guys tell me, that it's their first time. You know, they've been down this path before and perhaps have gotten away with it, injuring and, you know, unalterably changing the life of a child. And you wonder why they do it if they know there's a chance of getting caught. I liken it to being a heroin addict. You know, if you tell a heroin addict, there's a 20% chance there's going to be, you know, a drug in their heroin that could kill them, they still would take that chance. They know there's a 20% chance it's law enforcement or that it's, you know, a Chris Hansen takedown sting, and they take the chance. That's the drive that they have to consume their fantasy of having sex with a child.
So in these cases here, Chris, in Marquette, we're going to ask you to give it away a little bit, as people will be seeing it on your True Blue stream here. But in this case, these seven from here in the UP, were they surprised to see you? Were they? Did they know you once you walked into the room? How do you characterize these people's response to your presence?
I would say probably, you know, four out of seven knew who I was and, you know, understood immediately how they got caught and what they were going to face. The others, a couple of the older fellows, they maybe hadn't seen the show. They had some familiarity, but they hadn't seen the show. But they figured it out, how much trouble they were in. But it's amazing because not only do we show, you know, in the series, not only do we show the actual confrontation, but, you know, we show the lead up. We have the chat with this guy and the decoy posing as a child. We have them calling on the telephone and these conversations back and forth. And I don't know, what if this is a setup? You're not the police, are you? Is anybody else home with you? You know, they know what they're doing is wrong. And they come anyway because they need to fulfill this fantasy, this drive to have sex with a child. And so you see this back and forth and this lead up to the actual arrival and the confrontation. And it's quite compelling. You know, this series has been around for a long time in one form or another. And I continue to do it because I think we continue to create awareness and a dialogue and hopefully some sort of, you know, reality check for guys who are thinking about doing this to stop them from doing it. Yet they keep showing up. And we're going to keep doing it.
The last question I'll ask you is to connect this to the Jordan DeMay case. We talked about it earlier when the reception wasn't good. But you were involved in that, and you were telling me, we'll ask you to do it again. In your experience, sure. The fact that these folks from Nigeria got caught and are charged is quite amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing that the Nigerian suspects have not only been caught, arrested, charged, but extradited to the United States. It's the first time, to my knowledge, and I've covered a lot of crimes committed online by West African people and people from Eastern Europe. But this is the first time that anybody has been held accountable and brought to U.S. soil to face charges. We have been working on a major documentary series on the subject of sextortion, which is underreported and so important to make people aware of. We had covered cases of suicides in California, South Carolina, Ohio, and we wanted to come up to Marquette and talk to the authorities, the Marquette County Sheriff, the FBI, and the parents of Jordan DeMay. You know, everybody in the story, caring, compassionate, and what it showed was it could happen to anyone. Jordan was a great kid, had everything going for him, and got caught up in an hour and 45 minutes of chat with somebody who did something so vile and so violating that he ultimately took his own life. And it's a tragedy on every level. But we wanted to show that, as we have in the other cases, and it was important to show the fine investigative work, in this case, of the Marquette County Sheriff, of the FBI, everybody else involved, and the tenacity of Jordan's parents to go public and to bare their soul in a way to try to make sure this doesn't happen to any other child. And so we were profiling that story, and I got to talking with the sheriff, and we started discussing the possibility of doing a sting, and one thing led to another, and we were able to put it all together and successfully do it.
All right, then I'll let you, if there's anything else you'd like to say here about what people will see tomorrow on True Blue and how they can purchase. This isn't on your cable system. This is on Roku. So,
one second.
Yep, he's in New York City, folks. You're going to hear that. He's not in Marquette anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I wish I was. Marquette's so beautiful. I enjoyed every minute I was there. You can catch the first episode, which profiles a 61-year-old guy named Vincent who drove, you know, a couple hours from Newbury to meet a 15-year-old girl, and it's shocking. And he knows what he did was wrong, and he admits that. But, you know, he tries to get sympathy. He says he's scared. He says, don't hurt me. Well, what was he there to do? To hurt a child. And even more shocking, it turns out that Vincent was a school custodian, maintenance worker. So he, in his job for many years, worked with children. So it begs a lot of questions, and it's a very compelling investigation and interview. People can go to watchtrueblue.com. That's TRUBLU. They can subscribe to our network and catch all the episodes right there.
Okay. And then, so these seven that we've talked about that came to the Sting House in Marquette, obviously they didn't come, not in Marquette, in the Gwynn area, didn't come at one time. So you've broken these down into several different episodes.
Correct. So there'll be seven different episodes on the Marquette investigation, and they'll start Thursday and start releasing every Thursday afterwards. And then, you know, when people get on Watch True Blue, there's a ton of other content. We've got films and documentaries. We've got all our other takedown predator investigations are there, some 40 episodes that we've already done. And, you know, we're out shooting new ones every month in different parts of the country. So there's a lot of content there for people to check out.
Well, Chris Hansen, thanks for doing what you do. And it's kind of like when I had the conversation with John Walsh about what he does and has
sure.
done for all those years. You know,
John's a good friend, great man.
Yeah, well, absolutely, and he gives of himself constantly, and in this effort, I mean, I watched you when you were doing quote unquote regular news on NBC. So, but this seems to be your calling, and we appreciate. I know there's more than seven families up here that you know are affected by what you have done. Maybe you stopped seven kids from being exploited.
Well, I'd like to think so. And you know, if you catch one guy who's willing to do it on this occasion, exponentially, you know, the reach is even further than that. You know, you can imagine that each guy could be potentially involved with, you know, a dozen other cases. And so, you know, the numbers are staggering when you break it down and think of the potential impact here. So, we're going to keep doing what we do and the takedown investigations and all these other documentaries like the one we're doing on sextortion, which, you know, the sextortion documentary is a passion project for us. Well, they're all passion projects, but, you know, we're going to take this to the next level. So once the documentary series airs on True Blue, and it'll probably go on another location to another network, we're going to actually make a special edition that we're going to give to high schools across the country and junior high schools free so they can show their students and make them aware that if they get targeted by these extortionists, these sextortionists, it's not the end of the world. It's a bump in the road. There's no reason to commit suicide. There's no reason to take your own life in this way. You'll get through it, and it's going to be, I think, a template for future projects where not only do we do it for, you know, for commercial purposes, but for truly educational purposes. And we'll put some exclusive takedown predator content on the ad because, you know, high schoolers enjoy watching that for a couple different reasons, but I think we can make them watch the rest of it and maybe save some lives along the way. So that's the ultimate goal, awareness and dialogue.
Yeah, it tells me that I kind of wish, you know, that had happened and you could have and Jordy could have seen, you know, your...
Oh, God, it's heartbreaking. You know, and along the way, you get to be, you know, you get to know the parents in these cases and you form a connection with them. And it's heartbreaking, you know, to know that these people, good parents, great kid. And the sextortion thing seems to impact the good kids, the ones who have the most to lose. I mean, Jordan should be starting his sophomore year of college now, and now, you know, look what happened.
And so, you know, it's good they're holding these guys accountable.
Absolutely. Chris Hansen, thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
On Thursday, and it's True Blue, TRUBLU.
And TrueBlue.com.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, thank you, sir. Have a good
day. Thank you, sir. Take care. You too. Bye now.